day, really, we do want to just celebrate and about what God has done. These have been sort of funny times this year again, a lot of disruption, but it's God's still at work, and we're about the Father's business, amen, about reaching people for God, helping them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so today, we really just want to celebrate, I guess, what God is doing through us. I just want to provide a bit of an overview, some of the stuff you may be aware of, but there are newer people here, and of course some may know about some aspects of what we're doing and not others. So this is a time really just to celebrate and to update you, I guess, in what we're doing as a church in terms of our missions, and I use that in a big sense. You know, it is the main thing. I preached last week and I said, you know, despite all that's going on around us, we've got to keep the main thing, and that is the fulfilling of the Great Commission, preaching the gospel. We're not a social club. Yes, we have fellowship one with another, and that's important, and we encourage and exhort one another, and we pray for one another, and we enjoy fellowship one with another, but we have a mission. We have a mission, and you all know our mission statement: reach people for God and help them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And I love what it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 27. I just want to exhort you a little bit before we get onto the facts and figures. I didn't get quite time last week to finish everything I was going to say, so I just feel there's an aspect I want to emphasize again today. But it says in Acts 13, 27, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And that's part of the Great Commission, that we are the vessels. The Bible says that how can people believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And that's our job. We're the ones that need to tell. So we need to be deliberate about fulfilling the Great Commission. And as I say, I talked about that last week. God's plan hasn't changed. And we're about reaching people for God. And as I said last week, I believe we're in a time, and Pastor Vanessa touched on it as well today. We've been talking about it for weeks now. Really, we're in a very unusual times. And from your perspective, you may all look at it a little bit differently. But I've decided that I'm going to look at it as an opportunity. As an opportunity. Because the world is confused. There are many people that are fearful, that are puzzled, that are confused about what's going on in these days. They haven't really got the answer. The world certainly hasn't got the answer. But church, we have an answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as I say, listen to my message last week. If you didn't do so, I don't want to repeat that. But there was one particular scripture that I wanted to emphasize. You see, the gospel is good news. It is good news. And don't people need good news in these days? Amen. So I just want to just give you a quick exhortation from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity." This is the thing, making the most of every opportunity. "And when you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so that you'll be able to answer everyone in the way you should." What a wonderful scripture. And I think that encompasses what I'm trying to say right now to us as a church. Let's just break that down a little bit. Be wise in the way we act. Be wise in the way we act. Assess situations. Every situation and dynamic we go into, relationships, are all different. Assess it. Be good listeners. Ask questions. Find out what's going on so that we know how to respond wisely. Just don't blurt out whatever we want to blurt out. We need to be wise. Think about things. Get understanding of where people are coming from. They need to be heard. We just don't want to be able to just try and have our say. This is wisdom. And choosing our words, choosing the timing of how and what we say, right? Very important in these days. We need to act appropriately and carefully and be wise. And the second thing it says is to make the most of every opportunity. And I love the scripture from 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Always be ready to give an answer." Always be ready. This is exhorting us as believers. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. We should be ready with an answer for most of the questions in life, because we have the Word, we have the Spirit, we have our testimonies of what God has done. And so recognize the opportunities. They may be with people you already know. They may be just encounters that you have during the week. And I've heard a couple of testimonies, and I had one myself this week. We're saying to God, "Okay, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to be your person to demonstrate and speak the truth in love to people, and to share with people." And we make ourselves available. I tell you what, the doors will open. And as I say, I'm very encouraged with a few testimonies I've even heard in the last week or so about how God has used people here. Follow the leading of the Spirit. and be ready with testimonies about what God has done. Make the most of every opportunity. An opportunity comes up, we've all got testimonies about what God has done and why we believe what we believe. And then look to transition that to find common ground so you can relate to people and then, of course, to lead into sharing the gospel. That's really what we're aiming. So use the opportunities that God, and we follow the leading of the Spirit, and there'll be a way for you to share with people the gospel. And then it says, always be kind and pleasant. So once again, here we've got to think, what is our motivation? And our motivation is not just trying to prove that we're right. Our motivation is that we love people. And so why are we saying what we're saying? We're here to build up. We're not to condemn. They may be wrong. They may be ignorant. They may make us angry. But we're not here to condemn. We're here to build up. The gospel is good news, and we want to share good news. So we've got to keep things simple. We've got to watch our tone of voice. I mean, I could do a whole sermon on this. I'm just giving you some headlines. And as I mentioned last week, speak that truth in love. And then the last point from the scripture here, it says, be able to answer everyone in the way we should. And so we need to be informed, church. There are a lot of issues going on. We don't need to be experts in everything, but we need to be informed. We need to be able to have intelligent discussions, particularly issues that are going on in the world from a biblical point of view, from a biblical perspective. That's why I say, get in the Word, know the Word, so we can respond out of the Word by the Spirit. Truth that's relevant to what is going on. Very important. And if you're not confident, as I say, be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Practice testimonies. Think about how you can share one of the things that God has done. It might be the area of protection. It might be in the area of provision. It might be in the area of healing. We've all got testimonies. People can't argue with that. Be ready to share that. And also, if you're not confident, practice sharing the gospel. Why Jesus died. How we can be saved. Why we need to be saved. And so on. So just encourage you in those areas there. Be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. And when you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you'll be able to answer everyone in the way you should. Amen? Okay. And of course, we've got to help you with that. Just remind everybody about the Prayer Care Share Cards. It's a wonderful tool we have. Particularly people you know, if you haven't got a Prayer Care Share Card, make sure you get one. And write people's names down on there that you know that are not yet born again, and pray for them. Pray for their salvation, pray for opportunities and for God to soften their hearts so that you can share. And then care, that's what Jesus did. He met practical needs. So show the love of God by helping people, helping their needs, what's relevant to them. Take time for others, very important in this busy world. So the prayer and the care, and then of course, we're making a way, we've softened the ground, ready to share the gospel. When the time is right, we can share the gospel with them. And that's, you're not confident in that area. I preached a while back, you know, about the need for boldness and confidence in these days. And know what we believe and be prepared to share it boldly with others. And so Prayer Care Share, the cards are at the information centre. Grab one. And if you haven't got one already, and write some names on there of people you know. And commit. Commit to praying for them. And watch God move and make a way for you. And sow the seeds of the gospel. Okay. So that was all very much carrying on from last week, where I was encouraging you all in your personal testimony, in your personal witness, really, that we all have a responsibility to do. But now I want to share, move on to share what we're doing as a church together and with the ministries that we're partnering with and the various missions activities that we do as a church here at Victory Christian Centre. Ministries that we're supporting, that we're giving financially to, and of course we're committed to pray for as well. Firstly, I just wanted to start on the financial side of things. Victory have had, since day one, since Pastor Stefan and Vanessa birthed the church 30 plus years ago, made a commitment then to God and about the principle of tithes and offerings and tithing, and felt it was only right that, encourage the church, all believers, to tithe, as which we do and still doing today. But as a church, we also tithe and give out into the mission field. Not something that's going to build this church, but it's going to help build the body of Christ and be a kingdom building exercise. And so we've always given a minimum of the 10%, which is the tithe, up to 20%, sometimes more than that even. And so I want to give you some figures here. As I say, these are the figures that are going out of the house. Touch on other giving that we're also doing, but have we got that chart up there, guys? So there's a little bit of an overview of what we're doing. I'm going to go through those ministries briefly, but you can see the CAP ministry, the Bangladesh mission, Feed the Hungry, Stu Miller, Tom Ingalls, Dave Mann, Nigel Woodley, Len Butner, and the Family First. And the various figures there that we're giving each month, which, as you can see, the totals there, $5,400 a month, an annual giving of this year, that's this year, estimated $64,800. So that's a tremendous effort. And I really want to encourage you and thank you for your support to the vision of the house and sowing in to the gospel and to the kingdom of God. It's great. You're investing in souls, you're investing into the kingdom of God. There is no better investment. So I want to just encourage you and exhort you that, Lord, this money is going to help win souls for Jesus right around the world. So praise God that we can be part of these great ministries and these great people who are serving God. And as I said, this is going out of the house. This has nothing to do with building victory. This is just sowing into the kingdom. And so you're all a part of that. And I really want to thank you and encourage you for your giving. Now we want to just break that down, and I'll just tell you briefly about a little bit about each of those ministries. Some of you'll know about some of them, others you won't. Feed the Hungry, let's have a look at that one first. We give $700 a month to Feed the Hungry, and it's the longest mission that we've been giving to. I think soon after Pastor Stephen and Vanessa birthed the church, they decided to partner with that ministry, which was birthed by Dr. Lester Summerall, and we've been supporting that now for 30 years. Feed the Hungry, of course, is a global Christian relief and evangelistic ministry that provides food and relief to people suffering around the world, mainly third world countries where there's hunger, poverty, crises. And they have a saying that they're feeding the body, the soul, and the spirit, and bringing Christ to a starving world. And been a faithful ministry, doing great work all around the world, Feed the Hungry. So we've been privileged to be able to partner with them. Also, we sow into the ministry of evangelist Stu Miller. Trained to Proclaim is the name of his ministry. We give $500 a month there to Stu. He's an evangelist. He's based in Australia. He's a Kiwi. But Stu's, there he is, and great friend of ours. He goes around churches training, teaching, and equipping the saints about the gospel, the importance of it, why they need to share, and how they can share. And, of course, most of us are familiar now with the G7 app and tool that you can use to share the gospel with. We do training of that in our in-house training. We use that material here. There's a picture here, I think, of his family also. There they are there. His wife Maria and their four kids. As I say, based in Brisbane. We haven't been able to see him for a couple of years because he's been unable to travel, of course. But so we support Stu as he travels around the world, really, but mainly in Australia and New Zealand to train and equip the saints and the churches. The next one we support is Tom Ingalls, Pastor Tom Ingalls, his psalmody ministry. We give him $200 a month. Now, Tom's got an absolute gift and a revelation in the area of worship. And he basically is taking worship and connecting it with revival and soul winning. And he brings a great teaching and revelation on the importance of worship as a lifestyle and how this connects and can break open things in the spirit for the winning of souls and so on. So Tom, a great friend of us here, he's based in Sydney and visited us here, not for a while now, but a great man of God, and it's a privilege to be able to share with him. Also, we are now supporting evangelist Dave Mann from the Hope Project, and of course Dave shared with us earlier in this year, and what a great young man of God who's got a passion for the nation. He's more than an evangelist, he's really got an apostolic anointing as well for the nation to bring churches together. He's passionate about the churches working together, and together we can achieve more principle. And so Dave is a great guy. We're sowing $150 a month into his ministry. He's providing great resources for the church, training and equipping and tools for us to use so that the saints can be equipped to share the gospel. And of course, the main thing we know him for is the Hope Project booklets that we distributed in Easter. And of course, our church played a huge part, the major part in our city, in distributing those booklets again this year at Easter. 30,000 homes, and we didn't have the lockdown to contend with, and we were able to get them into virtually 99% of eligible letterboxes. It was a fantastic effort, and thank you all through the small groups who participated in that. It's coming up again this next Easter, so we're in again, and a great way for the churches in our city to work together, to pray as we distribute the books, pray over our city, and sow the seed of the gospel. So praise God for Dave and the work that we're doing there and being able to partner with him. We're also sowing into the ministry of Pastor Nigel Woodley, $150 a month for the protection of Zion. And of course, he was with us recently sharing his heart and his love for Israel and the mandate on the church to support Israel. A wonderful work he's doing. He's really standing up there, I tell you. And great to be able to support Pastor. Of course, he's been a great friend of ours for years. He's part of the ICFM network. Pastors have just been with him in this last week as a trustee in the trustee meeting. And we as a church want to support Israel. And particularly we thought, well, here's someone we've got relationship with. And that's always key. We don't just give to anybody. We'd like to have a level of relationship. And so we've got a strong relationship with this man. He's a man of integrity, and he's doing a great job to fly the flag for Israel and the nation of Israel in our nation. And, of course, he shared about his current program where he's trying to petition Parliament regarding New Zealand opening up an embassy in Jerusalem. And so there's a petition. If you didn't get a chance to sign that already, I'd encourage you to go online, sign the petition that's asking our government to open up an embassy in Jerusalem. So that's Pastor Nigel, great man of God. Also, we are supporting Prophet Len Butner and his ministry, which is called Eagle Ascend Ministries. Also, $150 a month we're sowing into that ministry. Of course, Prophet Len is a great friend of us. He's ministered here many times at Victory Christian Centre, and he is also on our advisory board. So as the trustees of the church, we also look to outside counsel in terms of the management and affairs of the church, and Pastor Len is providing a very important role, I can tell you that, to give us advice and oversight regarding the administration and the management of the church affairs. So we really value him. Of course, he's a prophet to the nation, and we believe he's God is using him. Apostles and prophets, I tell you, we need them like never before in our nation. And so bless Pastor Len and what he's doing, and what a privilege it is to be able to sow into that ministry, so that he can be free to go around and do what God's called him to do. Also, we are supporting the Family First ministry, Bob McCroskey, of course you're all aware of, quite a public profile, $150 a month we're sowing into that ministry. What a great job. What a great job these guys do. They're challenging the current narrative and some of this ungodly legislation that is coming out and is continuing to try and bombard us and take us apart. As Pastor was preaching before, trying to break the cords away from God's leadership and dominion over our nation. And so they're making a great stand for the biblical values, for family values in our nation. And they do research, and the information that they provide to help us so that we don't have to do it, because we haven't got the time and the resources. They're equipping the body of Christ with these resources, engaging with the church. It's just a fantastic job they do, lobbying Parliament, petitions, just exhorting us all to be stand together and make the stand for righteousness and justice that is so important. And so God bless Bob McCroskey and the Family First Ministry. As I say, we give $150 a month to them also. Moving on now to our Bangladesh mission, which is our, I guess these other ones are partnerships, but the Bangladesh one is unique in the fact it's 100% ours. I mean, yes, we do partner. We have with Pastor Sushil up there in Bangladesh, who is the man on the ground, so to speak, but the funding for our Bangladesh mission is 100% out of Victory, 100% out of your tithes and your offerings and your support. It's just absolutely fantastic. And of course, just a brief summary about the ministry up there. What we're essentially doing is providing a care facility, a safe house for destitute women that have really been out on the street, that we've taken in and to support. It started back in the by a Christian woman back in the early 90s, and we took over, I guess, the oversight and support of it in 2009. So goodness me, it's been 12 years since now we've been supporting Pastor Sushil and the mission up there. Of course, Bangladesh is in South Asia, next to India there. I've said to you before, very poor country, one of the poorest countries in Asia. 175 million people, country's the size of the South Island. You talk about the population density. It's the eighth most populous country in the world. I laughed. Of course, they're dealing with the COVID crisis over there as well, and the social distancing, forget it, just ain't an option in Bangladesh. They're very poor. And of course, the other challenge we have up there is that it's a Muslim country, 90% Muslim, and probably less than half of 1% are Christian. So we are a small light, but we're shining bright up there in that dark place. And of course, most of the people are illiterate. Over 50% of the people up there can't read and write. I mean, all the ladies in our home, when they come in, they can't read and write. They are just peasant people living off the land. As I say, the average income, I've told you before, up there is about $2.50 a day. Very poor country. It's very sad. But thank God we can do what we're doing. It's a drop in the ocean in a way, but we are helping some and we're making a big difference. We've got the house up there. Currently there's about 50 people in our home, about 32 women, 18 children. We're not an orphanage, but some of the women have kids. So we bring them in and we try and clean them up and give them an education and help them to break the cycle of poverty that they've come from. We're mainly ministering to the Hindu minority. There's about 10% of the population are Hindu, very much second-class citizens and very much persecuted. And so they're mainly the ones. We have some Muslim ladies, but mainly they're Hindu people that come into the home. They're mainly, there's Pastor Sushil with a young man and woman that used to be in our home and have gone out and now been able to make a life for their own. So that's Pastor Sushil, great man of God. Let's move on to the next slide. There he is there with some of the people in our home. Next one. And now in the home, it's communal sort of living. They, spend half the day cooking for the 50 people. So there you see the ladies preparing food for the family. A lot of these women were previously on the streets, as I say, beggars, some prostitutes. And so we're able to bring them in to provide spiritual input, Bible teaching, share the gospel with them, pray for them, give them biblical principles for living, and so on. So it's just having a meal. We generally eat outside like that, and in a big circle, and they're just obviously praying for the meal right now. And they're trying to teach them some skills like weaving and sewing and so on. Next one. There's another picture of the family there in the courtyard. It's just some of them. There's Dai, and this was Sushil's family. There's his daughter next to Dai. That's his wife, Puhati, on your left. And that's the Galu, the lady who oversees and sort of is like a supervisor in the home. And that's the young son at the front there, Samuel. So that was taken a few years ago when we were last up there. So that's it. And there's a picture of yours truly with some people in a village that we went to visit to. This is the odd village that are Christian. And so we go there, and Pastor Sushil's like a roving apostle. And he goes from village to village when he gets the chance and provides oversight and teaching and encouragement and prayer for them. And so I had the privilege to go with him when I'm up there. And it's one of the villages we would visit. Next one. There's another village there. As you can see, they're living very basic lifestyles, mud huts, thatch roofs, no electricity, no running water, no sewage. And the kids come around. And it's the man in the middle, the older man in the middle there is Dulal. He's one of our oldest Christian converts up there, and that whole village is Christian, and he's the head of the village. Okay. Awesome. Okay, next one. Yeah, now, of course, you'll... just to let you know, we are providing all the money that we give, and it's $1,600 a month we send up, plus a little bit extra now and again. We've taken up offerings, as you're aware, for the building project, which were extra special, but we're providing all the food for those 50 people every month. We're providing clothing for them. We're providing all the medical needs, and most of them, a lot of them, come in with sicknesses and disease. Some have even got leprosy. Can you believe that in this day and age? And we're providing for all the schooling of the kids because their mothers never had the education. So we're providing schooling for the children and getting them educated so they've got a chance in life so they're not living lives of poverty, trying to break the cycle there. So what a privilege it is to be able to sow net into the natural needs of the people, but also the spiritual needs, share the gospel and take the gospel out. In fact, Pastor Shashil is actually an evangelist. He loves sharing, and he'll walk. He used to walk miles and miles and miles each day from village to village to be able to share the gospel, and it's absolutely fantastic. But of course, the building has been a big project for us in the last 2 years, but it's been very much hindered by the COVID lockdown, which they've had up there. So it's been slow progress, and getting materials and being able to do work has been very slow. But that was the house when we started. We wanted to put the second story on, as I've told you the story previously. Let's have a look. Some slides through here. That was the upper story. It'd been like that for 20 years and was always meant to have another story. You can see the columns that were started, but never really got completed. It was starting to deteriorate quite badly. So we had to make a call, and of course we put the call out, and thank you for all those that you have given generously and sowed into that fund. And of course now they started to do the building last year. Let's move on. And there they are starting to get materials ready to put the second story on. There's the scaffolding going up, all bamboo. Then we have some more photos here. That's preparing the boxing for the next slab underneath. Pretty crude by New Zealand standards, but anyway, does the job. Then there's the steel going down, so it's good to see. I was quite surprised to see steel in it, so that was good. that's it there.
There we have... getting ready, and bringing the
concrete up there, and buckets on their heads. Pouring the slab. Next one. And there they are. You can see the concrete's being poured. They're working there with the boxing, and it's still wet, drying off. And next one. Oh, that should have been, that's a little bit out of secret there. They're preparing the different, and there's the slab there. All beautifully done, eh? So they get there, not the way we would do it, and no health and safety, but anyway, the job got done. So, and that's on the roof, so sitting on top of the roof, that's part of the family there posing for a photo. And a lot of those ones there, that's a very new photo. I don't know most of those, because people come and go the whole time. And that's the idea, is they come in, we clean them up, we get them going, we give them some resources, and the idea can then go back in their village and make a living for themselves. And then we can bring more in, because we are limited in our capacity. We get people knocking on our door virtually every day. Can we come? And we have to sadly say no, because we haven't got enough room. But we've now got more room, but it's still the resources that we require to manage it all. And it's, you know, trying to manage, I don't know about any of you that you've all got families, and, you know, managing family dynamics can be pretty tricky when there's only three or four of you, six of you maybe, but about 50, you can imagine. It's quite a task that Pastor Shashil has there to keep the peace and the unity and the love and in the house. So he's got quite a challenge. But praise God for what God is doing up there. We're bringing the love of God in a practical way. Jesus said we've got to help the poor, and we're doing this as a church. No other churches, they're not getting funds from any other source. It's just through our giving, your generous giving. So what a wonderful thing we can do there. And of course, we've given over $25,000. Has also gone up on top of the monthly support to help pay for this building project. Where it is actually, I haven't got any recent photos, but it is more or less closed in and complete. A lot of the finishings have yet to be done, but as I say, progress has been pretty slow due to the COVID restrictions. Okay, so that's, and then of course we give to, and Benita's going to come and share in a minute about the CAP ministry, Christians Against Poverty, but of course we also sow into that ministry here, supporting the head office, paying for a lot of things, and we give $1,800 a month to CAP. Could we bring up that graph again? There's a pie chart that the boys have drawn up for us again that shows where our giving goes. You can see there, the CAP ministry, the Bangladesh, by far our two biggest ministries, Feed the Hungry, Stu Miller, and then those other ones there that we're supporting monthly. As I say, $5,400 a month, $64,800 a year. Give yourselves a clap, church. It's just fantastic. And that's not all. We also are giving a lot of one-off payments where there's a need. We've supported just in the last year. You remember we took an offering up and sent up to Pastor John in Myanmar? There we are supporting people like Family First and Voices for Freedom, There was indirectly Neil and Tiao and up there in Morrinsville. We're sowing into their ministries as well as one-off payments. These are what I'm just been showing you here is the regular. But we're also making one-off payments, and I've calculated that roughly this year it's been an extra $10,000. This is absolutely awesome coming out of our giving. So thank you for, you know, building into the kingdom and fulfilling the Great Commission by sowing into these great ministries. And of course, what we are also doing is our outreaches here at Victory Christian Center, what I would call our community outreaches here, that are directly out of this church, that are here in some ways to help build the church. And that's great. And we try and put all of our events on, our crowd events, all of the ministries we have. And we've got a bit of a saying that we say we want to put on food, we want to have some fun, we want to build friendship that will lead to faith and forgiveness. And we think that's a nice little slogan, and it sort of stands behind, I guess, and gives reason to everything that we're doing. And so most of our events, therefore, are designed to be able to invite non-Christians to. Some are in-house, sure, but most of them are, you know, designed to be able to invite non-Christians to. And I just quickly wanted to summarize that once again. We probably haven't done quite as much as we'd have liked to because of the COVID restrictions this year. But praise God, when I look at what we have done, we've still done absolutely fantastic. It's awesome. We have we've got our men's ministry and our women's ministry, our youth. And all of those things, when we put on events and that they're doing, they're designed to be able to help connect with our communities. Absolutely fantastic. And our kids' church, of course, they're part of the vision. They're each term, they have an event that's supposed to be, you know, that they can invite unsaved children to. And, of course, we've just recently had our light party, but we've had movie nights and other activities that they put on that are designed to be an outreach. Because this is what we're about. Remember our vision. We're here to reach people for God and help them become fully devoted followers of Christ. We've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. We can do a lot of things, but we always got to keep this front and forefront. So we have also our icons, boys ministry that Mike Baker and his team faithfully do every Friday night, and giving our guys fun together, but also inputting great Christian values. And once again, that's reaching out to non-Christian kids as well. So we have that, and of course we have our toddler hop happening, our music and movement program for young mums and kids happening every Friday in our kids' church area there. And about 15, I think, 20-odd toddlers each week. And the mums come along, and it's where we can build real relationships with them and connect with them, bring them into a church environment that they can see is safe and it's fun and it's affordable, and where we can build relationships and we can demonstrate the love of God. So it's a great little outreach there that we have with the toddler hop, and thank you for all those that contribute and help with that. It's wonderful. Also, we've got still got the Bible in Schools program running. Been a little bit restricted this year, but Robin is still faithfully serving up there in the Pomari School. Once again, I'm taking the gospel message in there and sharing with kids the love of Jesus. It's just awesome. We also have had an opportunity to minister and take a church service down at the Bob Scott retirement home in Petone. So I do most of them, but Nita's done a couple, and we go down there once a month and take one of the church services on a Wednesday afternoon and be able to share the gospel down there as well. So that's been a great opportunity. Of course, earlier in the year we had our marriage course with Pastor Jimmy Evans, and while that was for all of us, sure, we're all blessed by that, there were some outside participants in that as well. And this, we always try and tailor some of these courses that we can invite unsaved people too as well. So it was great to be able to share that with our community and make that available. Of course, as a church, we're also very much engaged, as Pastor's been preaching in previous weeks, that we want to be engaged in what's happening in our communities and in this nation and make a stand for righteousness. So we've been very active in promoting and supporting the pro-life movement, the freedom of rights and human rights issues that we're currently sort of facing. Some of the Family First that I mentioned earlier on, some of their initiatives, we've got on board with those. Also actively supporting Israel and making a stand for Israel when we have to. And some of these involves going along to rallies and marches and obviously praying for all of these things. But we are directly involved. We're not just sitting on the fence regarding these issues. And we're mobilizing as a church to do these evangelistic outreaches. Of course, Evangelist Joseph Lee had a crusade meeting earlier in the year, and we were able to support that as well. So we're doing a lot, church. We are doing a lot. We're making a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're speaking the truth, and we're making a stand for righteousness. It's fantastic, and I just want to encourage you. Firstly, again, in your personal witness, be ready to make the most of every opportunity. Be ready in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that you have. There's opportunities like never before. We've got the love of God in us. We've got the power of God upon us and within us, and we've got truth on our side. So let's look for opportunities to share that truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel, whenever we can, folks. It's the only answer. The government are trying to bring solutions to the world. It can never be done. It only comes through Jesus Christ. And so let's continue to do that, to run our race strongly and be a witness for him. Let's continue to get involved in what the church is doing in our community, in our community activities, when we're asking for volunteers, and to get involved in something. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. And let's get involved and continue to support each other and the various ministries and initiatives that we show here. And I just encourage you to continue to sow generously so we continue to support all those missions that we highlighted before and bless them as they also take the gospel out to a hurting world. Praise God. Well, that's me for now. I now want to hand over to Benita to come and share about what the CAP ministry is doing, because this is our biggest ministry, and each year we like to have what we call our CAP Sunday and share about what's happening and what's been happened in the last year in particular with the CAP ministry. And of course, we're very proud of Benita and the leadership she's provided for this ministry and the blessing that she is to us. And of course, we shared a few weeks back or months ago that of course she's been honoured not only for her work for CAP, but for work in the community and other areas as well, with the awarding of the Queen's Service Medal on his war. And so she's actually I think in a couple of weeks' time, when is it? 7th of December, she goes to Government House and is going, she doesn't quite get the sword on the shoulder, but she gets her medal, and we're very proud of you, Benita. Why don't you share with us what's happening?
Good morning, church. So I just wanted to, I've got my notes here, but just wanted to go off script for a second just to reiterate something Peter said around the money that is sown into CAP each month by us as a church faithfully. And I just really want you to know that, you know, right from the beginning, I know I speak for Annette and Beatrice and Lynette and all of us that, and Rolene and Diane, all of us that have worked in this ministry, that we take very seriously the financial commitment that we as a church make in this ministry. And we work hard because we want to honour each one of you and the giving that you are, the money that you are giving into this ministry. So rest assured, we are making every dollar that you give count in this ministry. So, okay, so now I'm back on script now. That's the safe place, right, with your notes in front of you. So I tried to think of another way to introduce CAP Sunday this year, because I'm aware that every year I say the same thing. I say, church, it's been another great year. And so I kind of played around with some phrasing and stuff, and I just did a loop back to going, actually, that sums it up quite well. And so, church, it has been another great year. So it's been a year of living out the words of Jesus in Luke 4. When you remember when Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. So it's been a year of proclaiming good news to the poor, a year of proclaiming freedom for the prisoners and recovery of spiritual sight for the blind. It's been a year of helping the oppressed to get free, and a year of proclaiming to people in our community that this is the year of the Lord's favour for them. So it's also been a year of change. At head office, we have had an internal restructure which has taken place, and this is aimed at positioning us to have greater mission impact into the future. And when I share today some of the results that we've seen, you'll go, how is that possible? But it is possible, and we are excited as an organisation for what lies ahead. It's also a year for change in this debt centre. So after 7.5 years of leading the centre, I am stepping aside as centre manager, and not a decision made lightly, but just one that is the right season and the right time for me. I do intend to still continue to see clients. You know, clients that are at the heart of this ministry. I love them. I love being able to sit with them and share Jesus with them. So I will continue to do that. And our new centre manager is going to be the wonderful Rolene. So you'll be aware that You'll be aware that Roland came on board earlier this year as a deck coach, and she just has an incredible heart for CAP and for this ministry, and she's going to do an amazing job of taking things forward into the future. And Di's also told us that she's going to continue as a deck coach for a while longer, and so we're just really thrilled to have her on board. And I think when I announced last year that Di was coming on board, I used the term the dream team for the two of us, and so how much more are we the dream team now with three of us. And so before I go on and share about the year that's been, I just want to invite Roland up just to share with us her heart for CAP and just how she's feeling at the moment as she steps into this very exciting, amazing role. Let's give her a hand, church.
Morning all. Yes, the first time I heard about CAP was at a Mission Sunday like this 2 years ago, and I felt that it's something I have to get involved with, but we were still settling in, so gave it another year. The next Mission Sunday last year, I still felt the stir, and I knew it's time to start to think about that. So sometimes we think we get involved with something to help other people, but in the end, we are ending up being blessed by doing that. And that is the thing with CAP. It's a great opportunity to be invited into someone's house, to make a difference in their lives, but also to share the good news, as in the end, it's all about Jesus. So I'm also excited to work alongside Benita and Di, be part of their dream team, and see what the future holds. Thank you.
Okay, so let's take a look at the year that's been. And I just wanted to start, as I do each year, for the benefit of those who are new to Victory and don't know the background or anything about what a CAP Debt Centre is, to just explain a little bit about who CAP is. So CAP is an international non-profit organisation that addresses poverty and its causes. We work in partnership with local churches and only local churches. We do not partner with any other organisation, just the church. And we help churches to step out into their communities with practical tools to help people get out of debt, but also to have an opportunity to share the gospel. We're really passionate about bringing good news, hope and freedom. So CAP's core business is to see people set free from unmanageable debt, and that is done through our debt centres. Nationwide, there are now 56 debt centres, and just last Sunday I had the privilege of speaking at King's Grace Presbyterian Church in Palmerston North and launching our very newest debt centre up there. So the service that CAP offers is free. It's available to anyone and completely free. And the way that we work is that people like Di and Roland and myself, we go out into people's homes and we meet with them, we build rapport, we bring hope. And as part of that, we collect a whole lot of paperwork, financial information, which is then taken through to head office. And head office then have the expertise to make a budget, work out a debt repayment plan, and negotiate with creditors on behalf of our clients so that they have a fighting chance at getting ahead with their debt. CAP use a client's own funds to pay their debt, so clients pay into an account with us. We do not fund and pay for anyone's debt. The clients that we work with do the hard yards and they walk out of debt themselves. So CAP also has a money education course called CAP Money, and this course is a top of the cliff approach. This is hopefully going to prevent people needing to come for debt help in the first place. And it really is just designed for anyone who wants to be better with their money. You don't have to have financial woes to do CAP Money course. Often we hear people say, I earn enough money so I don't know where it all goes. So come and do a CAP Money course and you'll find out where it's going. Could be lunches, could be coffees, who knows what it might be. So CAP Money is based on the premise budget, save, spend, and it teaches people to make wise financial choices. We have a youth version of that aimed at young people from 14 to 17, which is designed to teach young people to just live within your means. If you have $100, then spend $100, don't try to spend $120. So I want to really acknowledge Lynette in the work of CAP Money. Lynette has been doing CAP Money here at the church for, I don't know, 8 years or more even. And so each time we have a debt-free client, we take them through the CAP Money course so that they can help continue with those good habits into the future. So CAP exists too. These are our core values: serve the poor, save the lost, with the church across the nation. And these sum up who we are and what we do nationwide. So we're going to look at each of these in more value as we go and look at what's been happening over the past year. So let's have a look at some of the results. So collectively, around the nation, the big statistic here is that we have now seen 2,014 adults go completely debt-free in our nation. And just a couple of weeks ago, we hit a major milestone, which was the 2,000th person. And so when someone goes debt-free, they get a call, which we call their debt-free phone call. So the caseworker at head office calls them up and says, guess what? And so I wanted to play a call, one of those calls for us now. This is the 2,000th person call. And because it was an extra special one, the CEO, Sam Garraway, made the call. And just a warning, if you have a tissue handy, you might want to just grab it out of your pocket as we listen to the call. Thanks, Ian.
Kia ora, Chanel.
Yes.
It's Sam calling from Christians Against Poverty. How are you doing today?
Oh, kia ora, Sam. I'm well, thanks.
That's good. I'm calling on behalf of the support team, Chanel, to let you know that you have gone debt-free.
Thanks. Oh, praise Jesus. That is
pretty
so cool,
right? Yeah, well done on the effort that you've put into this.
Thank you.
Yeah, how does it feel hearing that?
Real cool. Sorry.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. I take it those are tears of joy, Chanel.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And gratefulness.
Oh, beautiful. What does it mean for you now, Chanel? How do you think you're going to celebrate this moment?
I don't really know, to be honest. I'm probably going to spend some time with our papa and, just keep pushing into him.
Awesome. Yeah, you're such an inspiration for the amazing effort that you've done over the last, what has it been?
Is it
just
a
over
year?
12 months? Yeah, I was going to say just over 12 months.
Thank you. I know I wrote that. Do you know I wrote that down in my journal? I wrote that down to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to do this in 1 year. That's so good.
Wow. So good, eh? So good.
Praise Jesus. Yeah. I'm so very thankful. Thank you. I'm so proud.
You're so welcome.
And, I just love you guys. You guys are like my whānau. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful. And I would love to keep sowing into what you guys do because I know that it's all Jesus. And, thank you. Kia ora. Awesome.
All right.
Bless you, Kaki brother.
Te.
Thank you.
And awesome. So good. She asked God for it to be within a year and how faithful God is. Just incredible. So exciting. So exciting. So alongside the figure of the number of people who have gone debt-free, we also have 557 people signed up on their journey to becoming debt-free, all at various stages of the journey. And we really hope and pray that each one of those 557 will make it through to get a call like Chanel got from Sam. This is the figure that excites me the most, though, is the commitment figure. 1,379 people in New Zealand have said yes to walking with Jesus because someone has gone into their home and asked them if they would like to. Just amazing. It's very exciting to see that the church is doing what God has asked us to do. So exciting. So CAP Money continues to be very strong. As I mentioned, 15,889 people have done a CAP Money course in our nation. And what's really exciting about that is often it is the first time that someone walks into a church facility in order to do that CAP Money course. It's a great opportunity for us to share the gospel and get people just feeling a little more comfortable with this thing called the church in their community. CAP Money Youth proved very popular again, and we've now had 2,328 young people do the CAP Money course. So anyway, we want to hear about Lower Heart, right? So you'll remember earlier in the year that we announced that as a church we had won the 2020 Debt Centre of the Year for a centre seeing three or more clients a year. And we love to win. We love it. And we want to keep winning, and we intend to keep winning. But let me share some of the reasons why we won this most recent award. So overall, our centre has seen 159 people make a commitment or recommitment to walking with Jesus. Eight of those have been this year, and the year is not over yet. So we are expecting more. We've seen 152 adults go completely debt-free, and 11 of those have happened this year in 2021. We have a whopping 60 families on our books at the moment, which I think is the highest number I remember us having in many years. And we're almost full in terms of bookings for January. And we had a run a couple of weeks ago where we had 11 new people book in with us in just a two-week period. So it's busy. It's busy. If you're thinking of becoming a debt coach, if I'm selling you on how great this is, now would be a good time to tell us you're keen. In total, since our centre started in 2008, we've walked into 360 homes in Lower Heart. And 303 of those visits have resulted in people starting the journey with CAP. It's an amazing effort, church. I know many of you have walked into one of those 360 homes with one of us. And, yeah, just an amazing effort. So moving to the second part of our core values with the church across the nation, wanted to give you an overview as well of what CAP as an organisation has achieved hand in hand in partnership with the church right around New Zealand just this calendar year. So as I mentioned, we have 56 debt centres, and that is the highest number of debt centres we've ever had. The number of clients paying into their CAP account and starting the journey has already exceeded the number in total for 2020. And an incredible amount of money has been saved for our clients. So as I read these numbers, don't think you heard me wrong. Let's give your ear a wee wiggle, and these numbers are correct. So the total debt written off through insolvency for clients who just cannot repay, you've all heard the expression that you can't get blood out of a stone. So in those situations, insolvency is the answer for some clients. And just this year, $2,979,788 has been written off on behalf of our clients. In full and final offers and direct write-offs made by creditors, we've seen $205,216 cleared just this year. And we have saved clients $53,850 through advocacy work, where we have looked at loans, we've looked at paperwork, and we've said we think there is something a little bit dodgy here in terms of creditors having done due diligence with regard to fair lending practices. So we've managed to save clients a whole lot of money there as well. More churches have trained to run CAP money this year than last year. It's 68% of them have now moved to learning how to train online, because of course many people aren't able to get to a local church to do a course. More churches have hosted a CAP speaker, so someone who goes out and talks in their church to tell them about CAP, than they did in 2020, which is incredible given the restrictions that have been in place in the nation. Income remains in a really healthy space, and the June fundraising dinner, which had to move online, absolutely smashed the target that they had set for it. And some of you may be, I think the fundraising dinner is coming up this Friday night actually, so some of you may have had an invitation to this year's online dinner if you're keen to jump on. Our external engagement team at head office, which is a fairly new team, has also created a couple of reports this year. One of them was called Demanding Better, and it was focused on debt collection practices in New Zealand. And the Honourable Minister of Social Development had requested a hui after reading that report to find out more about what CAP knows in that space. They also produced a report called Lockdown and Hardship, the Impact on Vulnerable Families in New Zealand, and that was done during this latest lockdown. And so it's in the hands of a lot of different government agencies, so they can see, you know, how it's affecting people at grassroots level. So at the heart of our debt centre, you know, statistics are great, and our favourite is the commitment statistic. And just wanted to reiterate again that the heart of our debt centre is to see people not just set free from debt, but to set free spiritually. We adopted CAP as a tool here at Victory, as an evangelism tool, first and foremost. It enables us to reach our community and to share the gospel with others. And these opportunities are what has driven me personally, and I think what drives us and sustains us as well in this ministry. So I wanted to, it's quite useful for me really that Peter shared, was it Colossians 4, about making the most of every opportunity. Because I thought, given that this is my last Skip Sunday, I'll just take a sneaky little opportunity to read a scripture from, so Psalm 103, 1-5. So well-known scripture, many of you will know it. And then I want to ask some questions, and I'm going to ask you, as I ask the questions, I want you just to raise your hand as I ask each one. But let me read it first. So Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So now here's the way interactive bit. So raise your hand if God has forgiven and continues to forgive your sin. Raise your hand if God has healed your diseases. Has he redeemed your life from the pit? Has he crowned you with love and compassion? Does he satisfy your desires with good things? Is he renewing your life like the eagles? I think we could all say yes to that, at least those of us who are starting to need a little bit of renewing. Awesome. So now I want to ask a second set of questions. You don't need to raise your hands for these ones. Still based on Psalm 103. Do you tell others that God is an amazing and forgiving God who forgives your sin? Do you tell others your testimony of God having healed you? Do you tell others that God redeemed your life from the pit and transformed it into what it looks like now? Do you tell others of God's love and compassion for them? Do you tell others of God's goodness to you? Because, church, we live in a time where we all know it's more important than ever that every believer is fulfilling their personal mandate to witness for Christ. And Peter encouraged us last week to be aware of but not distracted by the current climate that we live in, but instead to focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. And, you know, Jesus is the main thing. So I just wanted to encourage you, as David said in that psalm in verse 2, to forget not all his benefits, but rather to be bold and courageous and not just remembering his benefits, but go out and tell others of his benefits. If you want to be encouraged in just how easy it can be to take opportunities to share your faith, then consider coming on a visit with Rolene or Di or myself. Because if you need opportunity to meet unbelievers to share with, we have opportunity for you. And so just as we get ready to close, I just wanted to talk about some opportunities to get involved with the Debt Centre. So there are so many ways that you can help. Come on a set of visits with one of us and see God restore hope into someone's life. I guarantee you will be more blessed, as Rolene said, you'll be more blessed than the person you're visiting will be. Join in helping with a client event. So we'll be looking at penciling in those events for 2022 soon. Help with baking or a meal for a family in need. Help deliver Christmas baskets. And Rolene's going to be asking you very soon to help with this year's delivery of baskets. Support CAP financially, either at head office level or locally. CAP service is completely free to clients, but of course it does cost to run. And we've heard about the local cost this morning. Or tell us how you would like to help. So we welcome new ideas. We have some amazing, talented, gifted people in this church who have things they might be quietly keeping hidden. So we'd love to know what you're keeping hidden and how it could be used to benefit this ministry and to grow it. If you want to experience financial freedom, if you have debt that's holding you back or you're struggling, then CAP may be the solution that you need. Come and talk to one of us or pick up a brochure from the table that we have out the back. If you just want to be better with your money and find out what you're spending it all on, maybe have a chat with Lynette to see what the CAP Money course offers. So I'm going to hand back to Peter now. I think Rolene was going to come up so we can pray for her. But I just wanted to finish with a huge thank you to all of you for the personal support that you've given me over the years. You know, I have tapped on a lot of shoulders and just been so blessed that every time I've tapped, people have said, yeah, I can help with that. And it might not have been a big thing for you in that moment to say yes, but it's huge from my perspective. And year after year, you know, you guys have just been so amazing and so faithful. And I know that, you know, you will continue to support Rolene in that way. She might be a little shyer than I, so I'm going to teach her how to tap firmly on shoulders. But yeah, I am just so thankful to each one of you. It's been a real privilege to have had the opportunity to work in this ministry to extend God's kingdom with you. So thanks.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.